You're listening to the Texas Standard.
All across the nation, storms of a political sort over a decision we told you about this time yesterday, the Trump administration's decision to question residents' citizenship status in the 2020 census. In light of the president's known anti-immigration posture and the rise in immigration raids and the rhetoric over so-called sanctuary cities, an uproar is spreading, particularly in Democratic Party strongholds. Now, here in Texas, critics say this question could affect a whole panoply of decisions over education, highway construction, health care, and much more. And then there's the issue of who gets to wield power in Washington, right? I mean, especially considering that Texas picked up 4 seats in Congress after the last census. And if this question leads to an undercount, well, Texas could take it on the chin. Ross Ramsey's been exploring the implications for the Lone Star State. He's co-founder and executive editor of the Texas Tribune. Ross, good to see you.
Good to see you.
So adding the citizenship question to the 2020 census could screw over Texas's population count?
Yeah, the demographers, a lot of them are saying if you add this question, people that are distrustful of taking surveys and wary of these things in the first place will be even more wary. If you're talking to somebody and you're adding a question about, are you a citizen? Mm-hmm. If they're not, they might avoid having their nose counted. And we're trying to get a count of residents. And, you know, if we can get it of citizens too, but the main thing is to get a count of residents. And the idea here is that the number of people we have in Congress, our representation,
right,
the funds that we get for everything from highways to healthcare to education are all based on our population.
Right,
if you're short counted, you're going to be short sheeted when it comes time for the next decade in federal program.
But let's pull back for just a moment, because this question used to be part of the census, unless I'm mistaken.
Until the 50s, until 1950, I think.
Why was it ever eliminated?
I think they got rid of it. You know, they periodically change these things and say, let's stop asking that, let's start asking this. They had an influx of a bunch of people after World War II. There were a bunch of things going on.
But was there a political dimension to removing the question in the first case?
I honestly don't know the answer to that. I do know that, you know, this comes up from time to time, and whenever immigration is a big issue, this kind of idea comes back. It came around in the 80s and they decided not to put it in, you know. But they've decided this time, for the time being, to put this on. You know, we're not to the census yet, so we haven't printed the forms yet. So
you make an interesting point, because you point out that the census isn't just about counting noses. This is about policy. It's about where money is spent. And right now, we have some very rough figures on immigration. How can we have an immigration conversation, a knowledgeable conversation about policy, if we don't know how many people we're talking about here?
Well, you know, there's two questions here. One of them is, if you're trying to get the nose count of everybody, have you gotten everything out of your survey that's in the way of that? So there's one question.
Sure,
and,
sure.
You know, I mean, people on both sides of this want an accurate nose count. The second question is, how do we count citizens and non-citizens so that we can temper our programs for that, so that we can see which states need the most help with that? And there are other ways to find out. There are other ways to survey those. You can survey by sampling. You can do all kinds of things that give you those answers in addition to your total nose count.
Now, according to a recent preview of the 2020 census done by the Tribune, we're talking about a population that's pretty hard to count to begin with, right?
Yeah, there's if you look at the census tracts that we have now, there are a bunch of census tracts where it's difficult to do surveys in the first place, and they are weighted toward Hispanic populations and toward impoverished populations. So they're already hard to count. And if you add a question on top of it that sounds like suspicious and sounds like it could lead to something else, whether that's, you know, detainment or deportation or something like that, you're going to depress an already depressed count. And the question is, can you get a real count?
So let's pull back for just a moment and look at how this might play out for Texas per se. I mean, what would an undercount mean for Texas's congressional representation, for example?
Well, you know, the first thing they do when they count the populations all over the country is they say, okay, we have 435 seats in the House. Based on population, you get this many, you get that many, you get the other.
Mm-hmm.
In Texas, we have 36 now. The early estimates are that we'll get 39 seats after the 2020 election. But that's based on what they expect the growth to be. Last time we counted in 2010, most of our growth was Hispanic, and most of what was left was African American. So you're counting minority populations, which are these hard to survey populations. If you undercount those, then you might not get 39 seats, you might just get 38. We got cheated out of a representative there. Within the state, when we decide how we're going to divide the state into these 36 or 38 or 39 districts, some places like El Paso are more likely to have these populations than places like Texarkana.
We're already seeing a legal challenge from California. How are Texas officials greeting this change?
You know, Texas officials are more or less in line with the federal government. You know, it's a Republican administration there. It's a Republican administration here. There is a lot of noise around this, and a lot of groups are talking about suing. I think we'll hear more about that in the next few days, but I expect this to be a fight all the way up until they start asking us to count ourselves.
Of course, you can follow every blow at thetexastribune.org, where Ross Ramsey is executive editor and co-founder. Ross, good to see you again. Thanks so much,
David,
for coming in.
Appreciate it.